الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Welcome to Let the Quran Speak. My name is Safiya, I'm your host. The aim of Let the Quran Speak is to help you gain deeper insights into Muslims and Islam, as it is practiced here and in other parts of the world. In this episode, how does Islam view slavery? Why did God not prohibit slavery altogether? And why didn't the Prophet Muhammad forbid the practice? Should Muslims actively work for the eradication of slavery and the equality of all human beings? We'll answer those questions a bit later in the show. First, action and intention. Why is intention given such prominence in Islam? Why are Muslims constantly reminded to check and renew their intentions? What happens if one has the intent to do something good, but is not able to follow through? And what if one has the intent to do something evil, but does not follow through? Is one punished or rewarded for intention? With me to discuss this subject, Dr. Shabir Ali, President of the Islamic Information Center. Dr. Shabir Ali, welcome to Let the Quran Speak.
Pleasure to be on.
Let's talk about intention. Why is intention so important for Muslims?
Well, the idea in anything that we do is that we want to serve God. The Quran says that God created human beings so that we should worship Him. But the worship here, as is understood in Islam, is quite broad, and it involves all of our activities, even some mundane matters. And it is thought that even something as necessary as going to sleep can be an act of worship if we do it with the right intention. So right intention may be, well, I need to get some sleep so that I can get up for work tomorrow, so that I can do a good job and serve my occupation well, and by extension to look after my family, to be a breadwinner, and to be a contributor to society. These are all good intentions. Mm-hmm. And this starts from the idea of going to sleep. Now, many people do that anyway. People think, I've got to get bed early because I've got a long day tomorrow. I've got to prepare well for that day, and I need my rest. A Muslim may even add more to this by thinking that if I do a good job and if I support my family well, I will get rewarded by God. Mm-hmm. So it starts with going to bed early. So mm-hmm. going to bed early is with that greater expectation that God will be happy with me for doing this.
So does one's intention have to be explicit, or can it be implicit? I mean, if one goes to bed early, then that's the assumption that, you know, they have all these things in mind.
Well, it's mostly implicit. Otherwise, we would be announcing intentions like throughout the day.
Yes.
I mean, we always have in mind to do something. Mm-hmm. We don't have to say, I have in mind to do such and such a thing. And this needs some clarification, because some Muslims are accustomed, especially before the five times a daily prayer, the daily prayers, to recite certain formulas which announce, I am about to offer, or I intend to offer two cycles of prayer, and so on. And some think that you must do this, but there is no requirement that you must do this. This became a practice so that some people who needed this might have the clarity of mind that, having now pronounced it, they're quite clear, this is what I'm going to do, as opposed to having started the prayer and then wondering, what did I begin here? Mm-hmm. So it helps in that way, but it's not a requirement.
In terms of religious acts, are some intentions better than others? For example, one could have the intention to avoid God's punishment, or another person could have the intention to get a reward from God. Another person might have the intention to gain God's pleasure. Are some of these intentions better than others?
Each might appeal to different persons. Hmm. Some people respond to God in fear, and they're worried, if I don't do what God commanded, well, God will put me in hell, so I better do what God has commanded. Or if I disobey Him, well, you know, God save me. So they respond in this way. Some other people respond for the purpose of reward. They think that if they do certain things, then God will give them a great reward, entry into paradise with mm-hmm. all of the beautiful things that are promised in paradise. And some people respond because they want to please God. They love God so much that they just want God to be pleased and happy with them. Add to this, some people may have the explicit idea that they love God and God loves them. And they cannot bear to think of God being displeased with them, because that's not how lovers respond to each other. And it will pain the human being to his or her heart to know that God is displeased with him or her. And so on that view, one would do things just out of the love of God. And sometimes one in that mode of thinking would not even want any reward. Hmm. There is the saying of Rabia of Basra, a famous saintly woman in early Islamic history, who said that, God, if I worshipped you because I was afraid of hell, well, that's precisely where you should put me. And if I worshipped you because I wanted paradise, well, deny me entry therein. But if I worshipped you because of the love of you, then do not withhold yourself from me. So that's the sentiment that many Muslims share. So we have a spectrum, and this spectrum may be seen in children as well. Like, I mean, in a different way. See, sometimes children obey their parents or obey authorities because they're afraid of being punished if they do not obey. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they obey because they're promised a reward. They're told, okay, if you pass your exams, I'll buy you this iPod or whatever the case may be. And so they're motivated by this promise of reward. And sometimes, especially when they grow a little bit older and they understand things and they know benefit and harm, they weigh the pros and cons and they make their own decisions, there comes a time when they just want to do something out of the love for the parents. They may buy a gift for the parent, for example, and that's only coming out of the love of the child for the parent.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about actions, because actions are related to intentions. Sometimes one does a good action, but for the wrong intentions. There's a famous hadith where there's mention of a martyr and a scholar and a philanthropist, and how their good actions get subverted in some way. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit more.
Yes, the hadith mentions in brief that these three persons that you just named will be called forth as examples on the Day of Judgment, and they will all be thrown into hell. Why? Because the martyr, though he boasted of his bravery, well, he was recognized as being brave, but mm-hmm. Apparently this is all he wanted to get out of his brave action. He wasn't really trying to serve God or to get God's good pleasure. The philanthropist gave a lot of charity in order for people to praise him for his generosity. And the scholar of the faith wanted people to recognize his great learning and to praise him accordingly. And God will say to these persons on the Day of Judgment, well, you all got what you wanted and there's nothing left. And so they will be made examples of in this negative way. Mm-hmm. And that teaches us that whether we are into giving charity or we're into learning the religious sciences or we're into striving and serving common good causes, for the sake of humanity, we should be doing all of this for the sake of the pleasure of God. We just want to please God by doing all of this. And that means we do not want name or fame or popularity. We don't care whether people praise us or blame us once we know we're doing the right thing, because we're just doing it for the sake of God. And we know that the ultimate recognition is with Him, and it is His good pleasure that we seek in the end.
Mm-hmm. Can one have multiple intentions? For example, wanting praise, wanting fame. Some people do like that. But also wanting to please God?
Well, it's natural for not only for some people, but for all people, no matter how much we think of that ideal that this is what we want, we just want God to be pleased with us. Inevitably, one may at least feel happy if someone praises them. And mm-hmm. some of the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, reportedly mentioned this to the Prophet, peace be upon him. They said, people praise us and we feel happy. And the Prophet said, well, take that as good news from God himself, because when people recognize that you have done something well enough that they want to praise you for it, then all the more you can expect that God is going to recognize that you have done something good. How would it be that good people recognize you've done something good and God is not going to recognize the same thing? Mm-hmm. So you can take that as good news from God. But of course, one should not take it to the extent that one becomes puffed up with pride and feel self-assured. One should always resign oneself to God. We have the excellent example of the Prophet Abraham. When it is mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, Baqarah, the second chapter of the Quran, in the 124th verse, that they established the foundations of the Kaaba, that sacred mosque where Muslims go to perform the pilgrimage. And then they said, Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta samiul alim. Our Lord, accept it from us. Certainly you are a hearer and you are all-knowing. Hmm. So they here are resigning themselves to the pleasure of God and asking God to accept this good work, because without God's acceptance, the work for the individual is meaningless. The work will continue and the work will be there and people will benefit from it, but what about the individual who performed this great deed? And then they add that God is hearing and knowing, because if we have deep inner intentions that are not manifest to other people, then certainly God knows our intention. And so they pray using these important words. And that's a dua or a supplication which Muslims can copy to this day. When we finish doing something good, we ask God, accept it from us.
Mm-hmm. Can one do a harmful act for good, with good intentions? Like, for example, let's say one gambles or wins the lottery and then donates the earnings to the mosque, to build a mosque. Or, for example, one steals to support one's family. How does God look upon things like that?
Well, this is not acceptable. The Muslim scholars generally say that for a good deed to be acceptable, it should be in conformity with three things. One is that it should be in conformity with the Quran. Two, it should be in conformity with the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And three, that it must be accompanied by a good intention. So it cannot be that somebody has a good intention, but he's doing evil things in order to accomplish this great aim. That the end does not justify the means, according to Muslim thinking.
Mm-hmm. Very quickly, how does one make sure that their intention is always pure?
Oh, one has to check repeatedly, because one may have started out with something with a noble intention, but somewhere along the line, one got carried away with the desire for name and fame and for praise from others. People like to see their names in bold. They like to see their names in neon lights and so on. So we have to always avoid that tendency. We always want the credit for things. So one has to check in between whether the intention has changed. And even after having completed the action, we should again ask God to accept the best of our works and just pass over or omit or ignore our shortcomings.
All right. Thank you for that interesting discussion, Brother.
You're welcome.
We'll take a break when we return. How does Islam view slavery?